Reading 1 Corinthians 15 this morning. In this chapter, Paul reminds the Christians who he's writing to of something that he had said before, and that was the gospel that he preached. We'll read verses 1 through 4. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. We see the essence of the gospel laid out here, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Later on, Paul, in this same chapter, gives an illustration of planting seeds. I'll read verses 35 through 37. Someone may ask, how are the dead raised and what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. Now, Paul lived in a agriculturally based society. Agrarian is the $50 word there of describing a culture that's based in agriculture. And so these people could easily understand the concept of planting and harvesting. The seed is dead. It must be buried in soil, and then the resurrection of the new plant occurs. Death, burial, and resurrection, again, this concept laid out. Now, this is something that Jesus' own disciples didn't grasp, that Jesus himself had to die to save us. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus predicted his death. In verse 2, it says, as you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. And later, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, his disciples tried to prevent them. Peter even pulled his sword and cut the servant of the high priest's ear off. But Jesus said, put your sword away. How then will the Scriptures be fulfilled that say that it must happen this way? Before there's a resurrection, there is a death. Now, we live in a farming community here, so I'll give you an agricultural illustration of my own. A few years ago, my neighbor bought some property behind me. It was a little bit later in the year, so it had grown up, and he hadn't had a chance to get somebody to mow the hay yet, so I went and mowed it for him. And the saying, going back to seed, well, that's what happened to this field. It was so grown up, there were seeds on the end of the hay, and I had to stop every once in a while, clean the radiator of the tractor because it was getting hot. As I got off there a couple times, I thought, free grass seed. You know, people pay money for grass seed, so I might as well save this. So I boxed up the seed and kept it, intending to use it later on. And a couple of years later in my barn, I ran across that same seed. I didn't do anything with it. I forgot about it. And there it was, just as dead as it was before. It wasn't put in the ground to come to life and to bear a new grass. Most of us in here have the hope of the resurrection, of eternal life. And that's not a hope that is a chance of something's going to happen. I hope that it doesn't rain today, or it does rain, or something like that. But it's a living hope that though something hasn't happened, it just hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen. It's interesting that in baptism, we have a picture of the gospel, this death, burial, and resurrection. The old man is crucified. That's the death. The watery grave, that's our burial. And then we're raised to walk in newness of life. The death, burial, and resurrection again. And it's a picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But it's not a mere symbol, because the Scripture tells us that when we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. That death is what we come to remember today as we gather around the Lord's table. And we proclaim that death as well as we take these emblems that represent Christ's body and blood that was given for us on Calvary. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray.